Welcome to the Media Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vettabonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
We're in the middle of a heat wave, Kenton, in Winnipeg. Oh,
yes, you're telling me. Yesterday was one of the worst, one of the hottest days I can remember in my life, I think, maybe.
Really? You got to get outside. Yeah. It's such a nice breeze, though. I really enjoyed it. I went out for a walk, and with the wind, it was good. Why are we talking about the weather? Why did I start talking about the weather?
It was 37 degrees, wasn't it? I think it was.
But it was a wind. There was a wind, and it was nice.
There was no wind. It was pure humidity where I was. Where just I was, sitting was on you. Oppressive humidity. And I still feel it a bit today.
Oh, yeah, it's another hot one today. But again, it is what it is in Winnipeg where we live. Hot in the summertime, cold in the wintertime, never really comfortable.
Well, you know, those Canadian forest fires, that's the new boogeyman in the United States.
Yeah, whatever's current. Yes, that's right. Whatever's current, whatever's relevant to them, that's all they care about. I kind of roll my eyes at that stuff these days.
Well, that was the, for 2 weeks, every major American, like, it's funny, they have to brand it with something when something goes on, and that it was the Canadian wildfire. All of Canada
was on fire. The entire country was ablaze.
That's right.
But it was just like Toronto. It was like a forest north of Toronto or something. And that happens to blow into New York.
Right.
Because of the way the winds are blowing. So that was interesting. Yeah. Okay. We're not going to talk about the weather, though. I'm going to stop that conversation.
What do you mean?
Today
we already did.
Talk about... Damn it. All right. But I want to talk about the media. This is, of course, Media Nerds this week. And we're going to talk about a couple things. First of all, the Bell Media layoffs that happened last week. And I'm going to first say that I am an employee of Bell Media. I work at CTV News Winnipeg. I'm not going to be discussing any part of this as far as my job goes. But it was a big thing that happened last week where they laid off 1,300 people and shut down a bunch of radio stations.
13,000.
1,300.
Was it 100 or 1,000?
Yeah, 100.
Oh, I thought it was 1,000. Oh,
no.
Suddenly the story seems much more benign than what I thought it was.
Well, there wasn't that many people working at the radio stations, Kenton. That was the problem. Yeah. The most important thing, that funny 1290 is off the air. And I actually was quite happy at that because I really hated that station. I really hated that concept.
Basically canned comedy.
Yeah.
Which was the lowest of the low in the ratings from the day they introduced.
Oh, yes. And it's funny because just before, and I got a sneak peek now, Numeris isn't publishing numbers publicly anymore, but I got a sneak peek at some numbers, and it was, they were at like a 0.1. Funny was very, very low and not even worth measuring, in my opinion. But basically what Bell did is they shut down all of their AM stations. It includes a few news stations, but mostly it was the remaining TSNs, a couple of remaining TSN sports stations, and the funny stations, and then a couple like a Bloomberg News and like a something like that. But it was all the AM. All the AM is gone, and they've sold three of them and then just completely shut down like nine other stations. And that's a huge deal. That's basically saying AM radio is dead. That's it.
That's in Canada.
Well, yes. Oh, yes. Good. Because it is not dead in the U.S. I have actually read recently that Ford is going to continue putting AM radios in their cars in the next round of cars. That was up for debate. There was something else about AM radio. I can't remember now. I should go look into that part of it. But in the U.S., there's still a lot of, I guess, commerce that happens around AM radio. So they're not giving up on it just yet. But here in Canada, it's dead. And also, I should add, it's dead in Europe. In Britain, in particular, they're in the process of actually shutting down AM radio, shutting down the transmitters. So there's going to be nothing transmitted over the band at all. All radio will be FM radio only. Right? And that's going to happen here as well.
Oh yeah, of course it is. And I mean, I don't see this as the end of a process, but just another step along the way of a process where, I mean, I had a discussion with the class this year about cuts in media and that kind of stuff, to which they said, "Why do you hate the media, Kenton?" And I said, no, I don't hate the media. I'm telling you about a trend that's happening in the media," to which they said, "Why do you hate the media so much, Kenton?" So I dispensed with the conversation, decided to have it with you here instead.
Okay.
But I do think like this consolidation of the media that we've been seeing. I mean, when did this really start? Like, it's like in
when
earnest,
I started Crecom
about 2011.
Okay. Yeah.
2007. Yeah. Yeah. Late 2007
to 11, aughts, as they would say, right? 2010, and then into that. And it would say also coincidentally, with the advancement of this, of the smartphone, that is what truly shifted it. So continue.
Yeah, and it's just like anything. Now you're competing with the world. Now it's harder to get advertising dollars, which is what makes it work in many of the cases. I mean, there's lots of reasons why this happened. In the class that I do, I say, who killed the newspaper? But really, we're talking about lots of things that got killed. And it's really a combination. It's a combination of factors, including the idea that advertisers want to go where eyeballs are. And if they're not where you are, then you got to change. Yeah. Got to change your model or change where you are.
And part of the, like, I'm going to say excuses that Bell gave for their layoffs were shifting behaviors to mm-hmm. digital markets or something. So basically they're saying that people are not watching TV or listening to the radio the old way they used to on the radio in their car, or watching TV like through cable or through, well, I guess rabbit ears don't exist anymore, but even cable TV is disappearing as well. So all this audience behavior is shifting to other platforms. The content itself isn't disappearing or dying. It's just going to other places. So that's, I think, part of the something that got lost in all of this. Although, yes, a lot of people lost their jobs and a lot of content is not being created now as a result of this, but they're still creating content, and then they actually made a point of saying they're still going to hire journalists and that kind of stuff. They're going to focus in on journalism.
Sure, they are.
Going to do well. That's what they say.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. But I mean, one of the biggest suspects here is ourselves, because it's true that we killed the newspaper in the sense that although I still pay for it, but most people do not. And that will have the impact of killing that thing. And I think, you know, and I think for broadcast, particularly if we're talking about radio stations right now, I think it also hits local broadcast TV as well to some extent. I mean, it all depends on the market, you know, the population of that market and their viewing or listening habits, really. But I think, you know, as I say, this is a step along the way. And I think we're more, as users, we're more into the give it to me for free or subscription model. And that's just what we're used to now.
Right. And those are the kind of, or while there are, okay, advertising based exists, and there are some people that are doing advertising well. Advertising, I think, killed itself in a way because it was so excited about being able to be everywhere on the internet, and people are so and you know, the Google like click per or pay per click model worked so well, it just killed everything, and so advertising just kind of killed the market for itself. Like, the value of advertising is so low that the newspapers and all these other media outlets can't make enough money to support the staff. Well, I don't know if I agree with that 100%. I think they could be looking in other ways to advertise, for one thing, because I am seeing advertising done well in some places, particularly on streaming platforms like the ones we see on Tubi and that kind of stuff, and those ones on TV. But that is part of the problem, is that the advertising isn't paying the bills. Nobody wants to pay for the content itself because it used to be supported by advertising. It's not anymore. And nobody knows what can replace that. Now, the government says it knows what can replace it. The government is stepping in. Our Canadian government has two bills in play. One of them is more specifically related to news, and the other one is more about the Netflix and the streaming services. But yeah, the one about news is Bill C-18. It's called the Online News Act. Do you want me to read through this? I'm not going to read through the whole bill, but the overview?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's, and I love this. This is the first statement in this overview. I'm just going to critique it. many Canadians access news content through digital intermediaries. Many. Okay. Can we get a number here? I don't know.
Intermediaries being websites and social media. Is that what they're talking about?
That's what they're talking about. Yes. Okay. They're talking about Facebook. Bill C-18 would enact the Online News Act, which proposes a regime to regulate digital platforms that act as intermediaries in Canada's news media ecosystem in order to enhance fairness in the Canadian digital news market. The bill introduces a new bargaining framework intended to support news businesses to secure fair compensation when their news content is made available by dominant digital news intermediaries and generates economic gain. For who? It's not defined here. It seeks to support balanced negotiations between the businesses that operate dominant digital news intermediaries and the businesses responsible for the news outlets that produce this news content. If one party initiates it, a final offer arbitration process would be used as a last resort to address scenarios in which negotiated agreements are not reached. The CRTC would support and oversee the administration of the regime. So basically, this is a main, this is not something that does not exist right now, but they're proposing a framework of regulation that will basically make Facebook, they're saying digital intermediaries, they mean basically Facebook, Twitter, I guess Instagram, anywhere where news can be shared, but mainly Facebook, I would say, is the main culprit in this, right?
Facebook is the one that's reacted the most negatively, but I don't think, I think.
Is YouTube part of this?
Oh, I think it's all of them.
It would be YouTube
so
too.
Google, which owns YouTube, because saw as recently as yesterday, I think the Globe and Mail had an article about this, and it was like Facebook says it'll just stop.
Yep.
It's news, people from seeing news on Facebook, but that's a little unclear to me. Does that mean I can't share stories from news gatherers myself on Facebook, or what does that mean? Or it means that the outlet itself.
It's going to quash it in the algorithm. It means no one will see it. It'll get no views.
If me or anybody shares it,
it'll just not show up on the feed. It'll get like minuscule amount of, it won't even be worth posting on Facebook is what they're trying to say. Yeah. That's what they're going to do. And honestly, I'm okay with that.
I get my news there, but
Facebook's the worst thing for digital news. It's been the worst part of this. It continues to be a horrible place. I don't even look at Facebook when I post articles for CTV. It's just like post, go. I'm gone. I'm not getting into the comments. Often we will decide to not turn the comments off on Facebook if it's an article about indigenous something or other, anything having to do with indigenous people, but like anything where there could be racist or negative comments, we just would just rather turn them off, because if they start happening, the complaints get to be too much and then it just gets out of control. And Facebook does not regulate any of that. That is on them, right? That's the problem with Facebook.
I think it's well known that, that like all kinds of news gathering services block comments on sometimes in certain articles, sometimes on all of them, just because it's like the troll army comes out for everything you post, really, and it's horrible. And Facebook did start that culture too. Its algorithm taught everybody what gets people riled up is what gets traction, is what gets shared. And so it sort of became this place where people were rewarded for, I don't know, what do you want to call it? For spouting bullshit.
Well, it's just about getting views, right?
Anger-based complaints and stuff.
It's content promotion without actually looking at what the content is. And I think Facebook, I mean, sure they can say we're just not going to promote the product or promote the posts. So then I think news has to find another way. That's going to force news to look at other ways to share its stories and for people seeking news to find other ways. Now, most news services have their own app. They have a CTV news app, CBC app, whatever. There are news aggregating apps like Flipboard. And what was the other one we used to use? We used to love.
Zeit.
Was it Zeit?
Yeah, I think that was it. It was good. Yeah. It was very good. It had a great algorithm.
And then it went under. Oh, no, it got bought out by Flipboard and then it got shut down.
Right.
But yeah, those kinds of things exist as well. So maybe we'll see a boost in popularity of those types of things if Facebook decides not to.
Well, I don't like this is kind of weird, too, because I'm not 100% sure of the ins and outs of this to start with. And I also am not aware of what percentage of news in Canada gets consumed on Facebook, which would be interesting to know. Like there's a lot of sort of, and how about the fact that the CRTC, that's the Canadian Radio Television, what is it?
Telecommunications Commission. Yeah.
Telecommunications Commission. They have never stepped in to regulate the internet before. They're all about broadcast signals and
cell phones.
And cell phone signals. And so this is something new as well. This expands their reach. And that leads to the slippery slope argument, like they're going to regulate everything. And one of the things that Canadians hate, I know that I hate, is when I go to eBay eBay.ca is the default automatically when I go there, and I have to change it to eBay.com to see all the listings, which is very irritating. And in some other ones too. Amazon lets you keep the same account across them, across the different Amazons. But man, there's like there's 100 different ways that we have to do that already. I'm a little unclear about what this would mean in terms of immediately what would it mean, and then down the line, what would it mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because the other bill that's before, I was going to say Congress.
Yeah.
What do we have again? Parliament is C11, which has to do with Netflix and the other streaming services. And that basically wants them to conform to Canadian content guidelines, I think, in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like it's all about, I was reading through it, it's all about encouraging diversity and a wide variety of perspectives and voices and specifically Indigenous voices and that kind of stuff. But it's also about CanCon and making sure Canadian content is represented. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because, again, we get lost in all the other content. But it does mean that some content won't be available to us as well. And I know that's another one of your pet peeves, Kenton, is when something is available, like, for example, on some streaming Hulu. Service that we don't have, Hulu, right, which we don't have here, and then it's nobody here in Canada licenses it, so nobody, we can't, the only way we can get it is to pirate it or whatever, or get a, what do you call it, those things to fool your internet, I don't know what they're called again.
VPN?
Yeah. So that kind of stuff, right? So that's sometimes, the other...
Sometimes those things do get licensed in Canada, sometimes, but you got to look for them.
Right.
And it's harder than ever to find where they might be, and they change hands sometimes. Like sometimes like the property, you're like, oh, it's on Disney Plus. And then suddenly it's not on Disney Plus anymore. After a certain period of time, it goes to some other carrier. And so you're constantly playing a shell game to try to find the content that you're looking for. It's impossible. Like it just, it's gone. It's here. It's gone.
We're going to see, do an episode about the shifting movies on streaming services. Cause yeah. I see movies move from place. There's something that just popped up on Netflix that has not been on Netflix ever. And I can't remember what it was, but it was so weird because it's like, that was totally done by another company. Anyway. Okay. So yeah, so we have these two bills. So what is the, I guess, what is the answer here, Ken? And what do you think news media has to do to survive?
Well, this is interesting because I think, I mean, there, how do you save news is what this comes down to. How do legitimate news reporters get paid? And I mean, it's a good question, and in some ways, I think this is the, and I do think Google has many sins in that regard, and basically encouraging news outlets to share stuff for free in the early days of the internet, and then making their ad algorithm count on the news that got shared, and based on what people were Googling, Google made $1 trillion off the misery of others.
And also their bid per click thing that has morphed into the basic system that everybody uses for online advertising and that devalues the advertising. I'm not saying they should have paid what they were paying back in the day. That was overpriced advertising. But now it's underpriced and it's just not sustaining the industry that it's supposed to sustain.
Right. But I think, so I agree that these places aren't without the sin that got them there. But I also think the Canadian government is kind of like, this allows the Canadian government to not have to subsidize Canadian news media, which, by the way, it already does in the form of CBC.
And other things too. There are other, I mean, the Free Press gets a thing. There's all, I always see these things about community reporters and that kind of stuff. That's all paid for by the government, right?
Right. This is a way of not having to do more. This is a way of making online media have to do more, and maybe that online Google and Facebook in particular do more. And I don't know if they're not willing to do that, then their algorithm can bury the news more effectively. habits, you know.
So I have a problem with Facebook burying it because Facebook is shitty and I never use it. But Google is another thing. Google has become basically synonymous with the internet as far as looking for things, right? So if you want to look for, if I Google something and it doesn't show up, that's a problem, right? Yeah. They can't quash news results for that. But it's not fair to expect Google to pay. Like, how is it fair to expect Google to pay the news source for the content? I don't understand that logic.
Say that again.
Well, they want Google to pay the CTV, Google to pay a portion of whatever ad revenue they make off of that,
right?
Off of those clicks, they want to pay a portion of that to the thing. Why does Google have to pay in this scenario? I don't understand why it's Google's, you know?
Well, Google is just offering up the most legitimate hit to what the person has typed in. That's what Google's algorithm does.
I know, but I don't understand why. And so Google makes money on every single thing anybody ever searches into their thing.
No, what? Only when they click on an ad. Right. Only when they click on something that's promoted. Then it's cost per click. But it's harder to tell the paid ones from the organic ones than ever before. So I'm not, once again, I'm not sure what we're talking about here in terms of that. But I should also say that the media outlets, many of them have already buried themselves, because if you put up a paywall, you cannot already be shared on social media.
Yeah.
Because people, you see it 1,000 times. Our students get placed at the Winnipeg Free Press. They're like, look, I published my article on the Winnipeg Free Press. And then all the comments are paywall, 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 paywall. And basically what everyone's saying is, I am not willing to pay to read the article you wrote. So too bad for you, what they're saying.
Yep.
Now, if it's free, then if the news is available for free, then they stop making money off of the news because nobody's paying to see it. But here's the other thing. Why do I want to buy an ad that's behind a paywall? I don't want to buy an ad that's behind a paywall either. So it's bad for advertisers. So I think once again, like, who killed the newspaper? Who killed a lot of stuff online? Well, a lot of it is the media outlets themselves. Of course, the tech companies, of course, our view, our habits, right? Advertising, marketing, which went a different way and went to owned media. Now I can just publish my own stories and promote them and get everybody to see them.
There's more competition than ever, right? There's more people. That was also part of the Bell layoffs, by the way. They shut down their international bureaus, a bunch of their overseas in London and all that stuff. They pared down their Washington, which is the only one they have outside of Canada, and they're just going to focus. So they're saying, I'm not going to compete with CBC, who's already got international news, and CNN even, and other, like Al Jazeera, other international news organizations. This stuff exists. We're just going to focus on Canada. I don't disagree with that. I think that's part of what you have to do, is focus in on a specific part, specific audience, and then go from there. But I do think the answer lies in the advertising. I think this is the part that nobody's holding accountable, is the advertising. So I think that something should be done about, like, regulating the way advertising is executed online, because it's become its own enemy. It's awful. At its worst, the advertising is annoying and intrusive, and people just dismiss it, and it just does not do anything. It works against the concept of advertising. And at the higher level, it works, but there's just so much of it, and there's no regulation, and I think if we forced people to pay more for advertising, more work would be put into it, and it would be more effective, actually.
What do you mean, pay more for advertising?
Like, they should charge more for advertising than they're charging. They should not go cost per click. It should be some other thing to do to audience base, a user base, figure out a different formula for charging for advertising.
But don't forget that, okay, so there's like very high level advertising in terms of, like, when I show the students like the websites for Rolex and like some of that stuff, and you're like, oh my God, like the money, like the millions and millions of dollars that they spend, like, making beautiful documentaries and like content marketing for, you know, to lump it under what it's called. It's incredible. But then you've got stuff like, you got, like, you know, local furniture stores that are involved in pennies a click or something. And so it's much trashier style of advertising. And, you know, since the beginning of time, people have accused all advertising of being terrible, but probably 90% of it always has been. And it's all probably 10% has ever been good, I would say. And so this is, I think it's the same. I think it's the same now. I just think the stuff we see, 90% of what we see is going to be trashy because it always has been. I think it is. I think that's true. But I also think you might be able to say the same thing of journalism, though. You might be able to say 10% of it is like pristine, incredible, like, holy, I can't believe they got this story. And 90% is the day-to-day
But part, and, but no, that's not crappy though. That's local. That's what happens. That's what you have to report on.
It didn't rain today, Dan.
That's not news.
What do you mean? It was in the forecast. So it's news because
weather is not news.
It wasn't what we expected.
What, don't mix up your news segments here. Weather is a different segment. That is
I don't know. Weather becomes news sometimes.
By the way, weather is the most popular video we post at ctv.ca. It always gets the clicks. And that's the other thing I wanted to say is that I'm not going to get to specific numbers, but our website at CTV does get a lot of clicks, a lot of views.
Sure.
And it gets a lot of comments on, and discussion in Facebook when we do post up there. And so that's got to be worth something. And so that's what I'm saying. We have to figure out a way to monetize this content properly in a fair way that lets people, you know, get good value for their money, but also pays for all the stuff that it needs to pay for, all the people who create the content.
Well, the local,
it's just got to balance out at some point.
Every local CTV affiliate sells advertising on the broadcast channels and sells advertising on the website. But I don't see it necessarily. It doesn't do sponsored posts though, right?
They do sponsored segments on the morning show.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they have that kind of stuff.
But not online. So, not online though, right? They don't go sponsored post, new Toyota whatever is out today.
No, they do. I've seen that. Maybe not in Winnipeg, but I've definitely seen that in other markets. So that's coming. That's a thing that's definitely coming.
Like getting, selling ads, selling sponsored posts that you share on your social media. I mean, anybody can do that, really.
Right.
That you share on your social media that advertisers pay for because it's good content, or because, like, if you do a story that ends up doing well about a certain product that people are talking about, for instance, it would be in the advertiser's best interest to boost it. Like, it's like, it's almost like a job, like a publicity job at a local station. But I mean, then it's a fine line. It's a very fine line between doing that and putting product placements in your stories. Right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because then you're corrupting the journalism.
Well, what's journalism?
That's yeah.
What exactly. There are different levels of journalism, right? There's different levels of this. So
I ask myself that every day when I'm reading.
Oh, man. So I don't know that this is going to work. We'll see. It's already gone through all its readings and stuff. It's going to be enacted soon, new online news act. I think it will. Maybe it is intended to move Facebook away from this stuff. Maybe it will shift the consumption of news to a different aspect of the internet, a different part of the internet. I just think that something has to change. So maybe this will do that. But I don't think it will result in more money from Facebook to news outlets. That's not going to happen.
I think it's going to result in, both of these bills will result in weird user experiences that we're going to start to get. And then it's going to become like everything. It's going to become like trivia in the United States. Like, oh, did you know they don't see Super Bowl commercials in Canada, like the US commercials? Like, every year that rolls around, every year people can't believe it. And we're just like, oh, okay, here we go again. And it's quite possible that Netflix will be like that. And we get some, like, all Netflix has to do is withhold some of their best shows from the Canadian audience and people will lose their minds. They will lose their minds. And don't release the last season of Stranger Things in Canada. Like, just watch people go crazy. Right. Like that's what used to happen with the Super Bowl until the updated North American Free Trade Agreement or whatever. That's basically the public had enough and they finally started to be able to watch the American commercials again. But I mean, that's another thing. It's another thing. We're just going to get weird user experiences and we'll see if people are willing to tolerate those user experiences, then maybe it'll all work. If they're not and they can't stand it, and really the horse is out of the barn on this stuff, I think people are going to get angry. I think they'll be mad.
But I think those people who are going to really want to get their news and really who feel like it's important to them, and maybe there's got to be something done to increase people who are interested in the news and that kind of thing. But I think that the news is very popular. It's never been more popular as far as people wanting the content. It's just a matter of will they pay for it or how do we make money from it? I think that we're going to see, its intent is ultimately to separate this media from news, and then we will see a shift again, as I say, to different platforms. People will, they'll use the apps, they'll use different parts of the internet to access news, not Facebook, not, I don't like Google. I don't like lumping Google in with Facebook. They're not the same thing. So that I have an issue with that. But again, these companies are not going to pay. This Canada represents a drop in the bucket. Despite our recent achievement of 40 million people in Canada, we're still a small country compared to the other countries that all these companies operate in. And I love how these bills all blame like foreign companies. They're like the foreign interference or foreign companies. It's all about the U.S. companies that are taking money away from local businesses. But it's just the nature of the world right now, right? This is how things are. So I think that it will force a shift, and I think ultimately that will be better for news. But I don't know that it'll make them more money.
Yeah, I mean, without knowing how this exactly works, that's the problem. Like, we can't predict what impact this could have on the bottom line without knowing, you know, what the plan is.
Yeah, but it's clear that the companies are not on board with this. They don't see, no. And I don't think there's. I heard about Australia looking at laws like this, but that's it as far as other countries in the world doing this kind of stuff. So it's just not enough people are getting behind it.
Hasn't the European Union done something in terms of Google and Google Ads? I think it has.
Okay.
I think privacy for that matter. But there's more. I think there's more in Europe than we've got here in terms of that stuff. And by the way, we should also mention the new season of Black Mirror is out. And I don't want to. Hey, it's five new episodes. And the algorithm is something that comes up there.
Okay. So. Well, that is, that's interesting because that is like driving all of this, right? It's all about the algorithm and what shows up in your feed.
But I mean, we're at a point though also where everything that we take in is becoming so personalized that it really is. We're an audience of one. The army of one was the U.S.'s the army slogan for a while. And we are. We're you know, a community of one. We're all reading tailored news. You know, I read more news in the New York Times than I do from any Canadian source. For reading, I do. And I probably share equally between CBC, CTV, CNN, and BBC when I'm on TV, watching TV. Among some YouTube channels, I have to say. But you sort of start looking at the way people consume content, and it's become so personalized. It's very hard to make any kind of sweeping generalizations.
Yeah. And all the platforms are so different as well, right? As far as like even YouTube being different from Facebook. And there's another platform where the shitty and the awesome ads and the shitty ads come together on YouTube, because I can have like new car, new Mercedes commercial, brand new fancy car. And then the next ad will be looking for cheap smokes. Have you seen that ad where it's just advertising cheap? Well, I get an ad every once in a while, say looking for cheap smokes, and it's an ad advertising cheap smokes in Canada. And I'm like, how can they do that? First of all, it's cigarettes. They should not be allowed to advertise cigarettes on YouTube, but also using the term cheap smokes in the way that's all, it's very, very poorly done. So,
We all get a different, that's another issue now. Hey, when I was a kid, everybody watched the same ads. Everybody did. And if there's a crappy ad, you all mocked it until it got taken off the air or whatever. Or you wrote an angry letter more often to the station, and that would get back to the advertiser. Like that shared experience is just gone at this point. And I think that's why the tech companies have all the power, because they know what the data is. They know what they can withhold to drive the audience crazy, to make the audience disagree with the bills. I think it's very possible that that the tech companies could do that. I mean, I also think Apple, you know, Apple's devices became the hero on the back of the content that we read on those devices or watch on those devices. So I think, you know, they all share some degree of blame, but I mean, that's what technology does. That's what it's always done.
Yeah.
Right? There's been good and bad with every technological innovation. Like people used to not get hit by cars because there weren't any cars.
Right.
And now we can get places faster and people get hit by them all the time. So it's like, that's the equivalent. Technology brings good and bad every time.
All right. Well, let's leave it there for now. We'll see how this develops and come back to it if we need to. Let's move on to some recommendations for the week. What do you got for me, Kenton?
Oh, you go first.
I always go first. Okay.
Yeah.
I have another Apple TV Plus. I continue to use my 3-month free trial, and yes. I'm watching Silo, which is a futuristic kind of dystopian. Have you seen it?
I have. That was like one of the last ones I could see when mine ran out. So,
okay.
So yeah, I know it's good.
So yeah, it is good. It's it's like a kind of, it's about humanity lives in a silo. It's kind of like, what's that video game with all the, like Fallout, I guess, right? It's like supposed to be like this massive Fallout shelter. There's been, we presume, some sort of apocalypse outside where then it's not safe to go out. They make that clear in the show. It's not safe to go outside. And so it's all about these 10,000-ish people that live in the silo, but it's a very controlled society. It's almost a dictatorship, really, the way they run things in a lot of ways. It's got some great actors. Tim Robbins is probably the most notable actor in it, but he kind of plays a side role. Rebecca Ferguson is the lead. She's kind of the main person in this, and she's very good. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's, you know, Apple TV's got some really signature series, and I think that's probably their most recent hit, because all the other, even the Michael J. Fox documentary, I don't hear lots of people talking about, which I enjoyed, but I do see lots of people talking about Silo. So, you know, fictional and non-fictional content. I enjoyed my free subscription to Apple TV Plus, and I think I would get it again if I canceled some cable channels, which I might ultimately do. I signed a 3-year contract at the beginning of the pandemic. That's got to be over this year, right? Has it been 3 years?
It has been 3 years since the pandemic, yes.
Yeah, I think I might do that. I might get Apple TV Plus again, but that's a great recommendation.
Yeah, and again, there's much more content on there, and this is my second free trial I've had with them, and I did subscribe for a while when I was watching like For All Mankind and that kind of stuff, a couple series, but yeah, this is a good like big budget sci-fi series. They've got a couple of those. They've got like Foundation. They've got I don't remember. There's the one with Jason Momoa that I haven't seen about people who can't see, but there's a couple of those, right? So yeah, it was a good one. So. I'm continuing. Excellent. I'm not even done yet. I've got a few more episodes left, and I don't know what's going on still. It's kind of like one of those Lost shows. You're like, I don't know. It's all these different pieces moving along. Someone's getting killed. It's very good, though. I really enjoy it. And the acting is excellent. I think all the performances are very good, even though I don't really know many of these actors from anything else.
Excellent.
I
already mentioned Black Mirror, so I won't make that my pick. But there is an episode of Black Mirror with Jesse or Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, which I think is particularly good. It's an hour and 20 minutes. It's like a movie in and of itself. It's so good. But anyway, I am instead. And so, yeah, of course, but that's an old, I probably recommended it 6 times already. But the other thing, and I rarely get a chance to recommend some family entertainment, but I'm going to do just that. I watched Muppets Mayhem on Disney Plus, and it follows Dr. Teeth and the band from the Muppet Show. And there's lots of cameos by famous musicians, some of whom are quite surprising that they were able to get them. I heard an interview with the showrunner who said, I was amazed at who I got, but there was also someone we didn't get who I really wanted to get. And I think they make a joke about it on the show. I'm pretty sure that there's a joke, and I'm pretty sure that's the person who they could not get to do the show. But okay. I just found it's like a Muppet version of a Behind the Music or something. I think it's 8 or 10 episodes. And I just got a kick out of it. It just makes you happy watching it. It's like a childhood flashback. And there are flashbacks. Cool. They have flashbacks, too, because of all the acid they've taken. But, of course, I think they have sugar flashbacks or something on the show itself.
That's
but anyway.
Funny.
It's good fun, and I also noticed it's basically a parody of the Beatles Get Back. So they have like 8 days, and they're crossing the days out, just like in the Beatles documentary. So some of it's a parody of that, and the whole idea is they owe an album to the label. And so when I was done watching the show, I went onto iTunes, and there is in fact an album that you can buy after you watch the show, featuring the songs that they record on the show. Some of the songs are covers, and some of the songs were written for the show.
Cool.
So it's good. Well, I got a kick out of it.
I love the Muppets, although I have not loved all the content that's come out of the Muppets for the last little while. Their series wasn't great. There was a kind of this Office take. It was supposed to be like the Office, but with Muppets, and I did not enjoy that. And what else did they have? And the movies are okay. The Jason Segel movies and that kind of stuff are okay. But
I like that one. I like the first one.
The second one was not as good. So that's good. But I, you know, overall like the Muppets, I'm always a fan. It's a huge nostalgic thing for me to see the Muppets. And I did see some promotion of that when it was released on like TikTok or on social media, where they would like do the little cameos with all the musicians and stuff. So I've got some idea of what you're talking about as far as cameos go, but, that's always fun when you can get a bunch of musicians into something like that. And I'm sure they all have their own fandom of the Muppets, and that's why they decided to take part. So cool. I'll watch that then. I wasn't going to, but I will, because I was turned off. I was like, "Oh, the last Muppets thing sucked. I'm not going to bother with any more Muppets." But if you recommend it, I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, it's very cute. It goes down easy. They're 30 minutes long each. It's like drinking a glass of water. Like
it doesn't drink a glass of water.
It does not. Yeah, it does not ask very much of you. But it's good fun. And actually, when I was watching it, I was thinking, this is the kind of thing, you know, families used to watch together. And hey, there's some of the jokes are for the parents and some of the jokes are for the kids. But of course, the star of the show is Animal, who everybody loves Animal. And if you love Animal, it's like there's some classic Animal moments in there. So there's good stuff. Yeah. Can't help but recommend it. It'll make you feel good to watch it.
I know my kids like Animal, so I'll watch it with them.
Very good.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of The Media Nerds. I'm Dan Vadeboncker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.